Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dive right back into it. A Tuesday, 8 o'clock. Good for Matt, good for Bob. Bad for me on a Tuesday. But you guys, rainy day?
Rainy day's a good day.
I just want to win, Jim.
I was going to say, you just snuggle? You just...
Today feels like the first full day of fall, doesn't it?
Wasn't that yesterday?
No, the half day. It started like 1 o'clock yesterday. So oh, gotcha. Today's the first full day of the autumnal... Something. Not even the word.
You're sounding so smart.
I know
there.
I was. The autumnal.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ever watch your pet sleep and wonder what they're dreaming about? Maybe it's them chasing a ball on a grassy field next to your new duplex, or catching the frisbee in front of your single-family home. Or perhaps they're zooming around the kitchen of your open-concept condo. Whatever their dream setting looks like, you can rest assured that you'll find the most pet-friendly rental listings on Apartments.com. The place to find a pet-friendly place.
Well, Equinox or something, right? And so, yeah, today's the first full day of fall. You could feel it in the air a little bit out there with that muggy humidity, a kid. But the rain and it just looks like fall outside right now. So enjoy your day. Be careful driving, please.
Seriously, slow down.
Yeah. But... It is a wonderful day to do Bob's Boneheads.
Rob. Bob's Boneheads.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. kind of like it raw.
Dang it. All right, I'll put it back.
That's fine. Now,
worked on that.
My bonehead of the week goes to Matt LaFleur this week. You lost to the Cleveland Browns, okay? You can't lose to the Cleveland Browns. I don't care how good they play on defense or anything like that. They're still the Cleveland Browns, and you're the Green Bay Packers. 72 hours ago, we were talking about the Green Bay Packers being one of the best teams in the NFL. And then you go out and you lose to the Cleveland Browns. I thought he was the least prepared head coach on Sunday. If you're going to be considered one of those best teams in the league, you can't lose to the Cleveland Browns, right? You just can't lose that type of game. It's unacceptable. And that happened to me because the coach didn't have the team ready and prepared for the Cleveland Browns. It happens a lot in life. You get, ooh, I got vacation in 2 weeks. You look ahead, you forget about the week at hand. You don't take care of the tasks at the week at hand because you were looking ahead to that vacation. Winning in the NFL happens during the week. You put together that game plan all week long, right? You're putting together your offense. You're putting together your defense. Saturday night, you put a bow on it, and Sunday, you go out there and you do your performance. If the team doesn't feel like the game is significant, they won't treat it as such. The way that the Packers played this weekend against Cleveland told me that their coach and their coaching staff and their organization probably didn't take that game as serious as they needed to take that game with Dallas on the horizon, right? Mm. You got a guy going back. We've been talking about this game for how long now? 5 weeks since the trade happened. Everybody's had this game circled. It's human nature, but that's where a good leader and a good head coach gets in the way and puts out the cheese like Parcells used to be. The rats take the cheese. Don't get caught in the trap. Don't get caught in the trap. It's a trap game. Don't get caught in the trap. And the Green Bay Packers got caught in the trap. That happens with a new head coach. You see it a lot. Hopefully he learns. And hopefully for everybody in the NFL, the biggest learning experience this week was from Matt LaFleur. You better take everybody seriously. And if you don't take everybody seriously, you're going to lose to the Cleveland Browns. Hopefully Matt LaFleur got the biggest wake-up call in the NFL this week, because I do take that loss and I blame it solely on the head coach for not having his team prepared and focused and ready to go for that game. Hard to get up for the Browns, I know, but this is the NFL. You got 17 days a year where you need to be at your best.
Yeah, because we played that audio last week of the guy that said, you know, we're not worried about undefeated. We're 2-0. We're on to the next week. It's week by week. And we're like, hey, that's a good mindset.
Great.
And then there were other audio clips throughout the week where the Packers were talking about, you know, well,
we can go undefeated.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, a little bit of that is...
At 2-0, we're having that conversation.
Yeah. Well, LaFleur commented on that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I'll play the audio here, him responding to the boneheadedness.
Well, he did respond. That's where I was going.
Well, I just think this league is such a week-to-week league, and you can never lose sight of that. And you can't take any moment, any game for granted. And the goal, and I've said it a million times to you guys, I don't think I've obviously said it enough to our team, the goal is to go 1-0 every week. And it pisses me off when we start talking about things outside of the next game, things that are way down the road. Like, focus on, keep the focus on the present, on the now, and worry about getting better each and every day.
That's a great message. Is he delivering that to his team to their face, or is he delivering that message to his team through the media? Because I think Andy Reid did some media stuff last week, delivering messages through the media last week to his football team. But Andy Reid's also going to confront guys. He's been doing this for 50 years in the NFL. Matt LaFleur, does he have enough street cred to go to those players and say, guys, this is what I need? Are they going to roll their eyes at him? Is he going to be that leader that gets the message across? If he's preaching all that stuff and then they went out there and played like that against Cleveland, his message is not getting across. It's getting lost in translation. And so if I'm Matt LaFleur, I'm having a huge sit down with his team this week and saying, yeah, we're 2-1, guys. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that we're 2-1 right now. We just went out there and we got beat because we weren't focused. We have got to change that. And that may be their Tennessee game from the first Super Bowl run for Kansas City, right? That may be the Raider Christmas Day game a couple of years ago for the Chiefs, where you have that stinker out loud and it resets you. Cleveland may just be getting theirs in week three, and now they may end up going, you know, 16-1 the rest of the way and finishing, you know, with just one loss on the season. That's how you have to use that loss in the NFL. But this goes back to the coach. How much did he learn now from that loss and from that really bad performance against the Cleveland Browns? There's nothing good that day for Green Bay.
I mean, sometimes getting punched in the mouth humbly is one of the best things that can change your season. Maybe Green Bay takes that loss and it's a blessing in disguise. And maybe they move forward and it's something where they never let themselves get to that point again. I mean, Jordan Love collapsed in the second half. Josh Jacobs nowhere to be found. They are also without, you know, one of their receivers who got hurt, obviously, in the week before that. Romeo Doubs had to step up. They have yet to really incorporate their rookie wide receiver that they were super excited about.
And one really good long ball.
Like, that was did it. He get hurt?
No, that was Jaden Reed.
Okay, yeah, that wasn't the rookie guy.
Matthew Golden, no. He Golden, had one great catch. Probably could have stayed in bounds, but similar to Xavier Worthy last year, I don't think he knew where he was at on the field. I think he could have gone for a touchdown, but he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. But again, that's a rookie. You learn those things, you know, as you move forward and whatnot. But you can't let one loss become two. You've got to stop that right now.
100%.
If you're the Green Bay Packers, you know, and that's, you know, one of those losses, man. Those are bad. But they're not as bad if you use it for good. And sometimes now you can get your message across a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I just look.
Same
I think
the Chiefs.
Yes, it's exactly the same. Sorry, you know, with the Chiefs. Yeah,
I was saying. You also look at how massive that win is against Detroit, Week One for the Packers.
Huge,
because that loss woke up Detroit. Does this loss wake up Green Bay against the Browns? Because nobody wants to lose the Browns. The Browns won that game, and it looked like the Chicago White Sox when they won their first game in the MLB season this year, and they're champagne showering in the locker room.
It's awesome.
I mean, look, that good for the Browns.
Good for them.
They killed 10% of Survivor Leagues. 10% of the nation in Survivor Leagues were like, absolutely not.
I mean, if you're in a Survivor League, that was the week everybody should have picked the Green Bay Packers, right?
I probably would have. I was already killed in my Survivor League in Week 2. Thanks, Denver Broncos.
Denver,
the Bronco
train.
These are our Colts. This is our team.
People are going to be loading up on the Colts now. This is the week where everybody loads up on the Colts and they go out there and they lose. How many have Tennessee?
They just beat Tennessee.
They just beat Tennessee.
They have the Rams this week.
The Colts do. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Got some revenge coming from L.A.
I'd like to know the percentage of everybody using Buffalo this week.
Mm-hmm.
Who do they have this week?
New Orleans at home.
That's right, New Orleans.
15.5 favorites.
You use them every week. That schedule's just cake city.
Yeah, I think this is probably the Buffalo week.
It's a good week for it.
How many people in a Survivor League will pick either Baltimore or Kansas City this week?
That's a risk.
I mean, I would imagine that if you look at Survivor Leagues around the NFL, around the country, I would say 1% of all Survivor Leagues have somebody picking that game, right?
Yeah. Not a lot, but there's some. But yeah, that's a risk, dude.
I mean, you must have already used Green Bay or whoever. Yes. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Is Detroit now a better team than Green Bay? I mean, I know Green Bay beat Detroit, but Detroit has looked really impressive in their last two games.
I mean, Detroit beat the snot out of the Chicago Bears,
right?
Which I think a little bit of that to play some sort of other side of it was a little bit of like Dan Campbell trying to give it to his,
no doubt.
You know,
yeah,
100%.
That was more so like, we're going to pull out all your old trick plays. We're going to show you that we got them. And then, you know, Ben Johnson couldn't even call him Jared Goff, even though he was with him for 3 years.
And that was petty.
You know, that was one of those things. So, I mean, I don't know, man. It's one of those things. You got to trust Detroit. I mean, they have the best running back duo in the league. They have a solid offensive line. They have three pretty damn good options that they know how to use at receiver. I mean, mm-hmm. LaPorta caught, three straight passes on third down last night. Amon St. Brown went nuts once they started to forget about him, which I don't know why you do that. One of the most underappreciated wide receivers. And I hate to say this, but Aiden Hutchinson might be back.
Oh, he's definitely back. There's no heat. No. I mean, that guy is back.
You talk about our offensive line, and they're going to get that guy in two weeks?
Three weeks?
3 weeks, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Juwan Taylor. You better not be anywhere in Kansas City when Aiden Hutchinson touched down.
I mean, you're just going to have a tight end at all times inside there to help Juwan Taylor.
Got a chip.
I mean, you're going to have no choice. But you know what? Run the football and then run right past him. Let him come up the field. You go up the other side of the field, and boom, you're done. And that's how you neutralize Aiden Hutchinson. Not that hard.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. More Survivor League picks this week. Buffalo or Detroit?
Who's Detroit got?
Cleveland at home.
Oh, dude.
You know, they're riding high.
Yeah, of course.
Like, dude, we beat one of the best teams in the NFL this year. Call it a day.
Yeah, no, they'll go to 3-1 and then head to Kansas City feeling really good about themselves, right?
Right.
Gosh, one of the Ravens Chiefs are going to be 1-3. That's insane.
ravens defense, 31st in points per game, 32nd in yards per game, 29th in sacks, 21st in takeaways. That's a defense you can get healthy on this week. Those are the numbers right now. I just read them off of NFL Network. They are one of the worst defenses in the league. Baltimore is not your daddy's Baltimore anymore on defense. Go out there and expose them, man. This is the week you can get healthy. 31st in points per game given up, 32nd in total yards.
Wow.
Go get healthy. This is the week to do it. Yeah. This is the week to do it, guys.
BLT stinky. That's Baltimore in an acronym. Coming up on the other side, we'll have Josh Briscoe in about 15 minutes. Plus, we'll get into some nerd stuff with Mac Morey here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Mac's awesome.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Maybe the tweet of the century. So Mikey Over, he's a CBS contributor on X. He's quoted it, or not quoted, but his bio. Just paying for the drinks. Providence College CBS Sports Sports Line. He tweeted yesterday with a picture of Landry Kiffin and her boyfriend from LSU. Landry Kiffin announcing her relationship with an LSU linebacker the week of the game day is a crazy move. The Kiffin household must be in shambles. Reeks of one thing, the over. At 9:30 last night, Lane Kiffin decided to respond. And he just said, simply, take the over.
Let's go. I love it.
He's so funny.
Oh,
why don't
man.
People like him?
Tennessee fans don't like him because he abandoned them and trade them.
Who did he leave for Tennessee to go to? Was it to the Raiders, or did he leave the Raiders to go to Tennessee, and then USC was in there for a hot minute?
That's why people
minute.
Don't like him, is because he's left everywhere.
He leaves everywhere.
But Ole Miss, he hasn't.
There's ways to look at that, though. At one point in my career, somebody in this building told me, you're viewed as a job jumper. I'm like, this is my third job. I mean, a job jumper. But also, too, there's something to be said of staying ahead of things. You know, if you're at a place and if you're Lane Kiffin, let's just use this as an example, and you're getting down to the last year of your contract and you're asking for a new contract and they're dragging their feet, well, then hell yes, you're going to explore other opportunities. Now, did he do that? Probably not. He probably looked and jump when he could jump. But if somebody also comes after you and makes you an offer that you can't refuse, why are we trying to hold people back? And did he ever make a jump that was less than where he currently was, you know, when you talk about perception? I mean, he went from the Raiders, which was a sinking ship, obviously, with a owner that had an overhead projector of why he fired him, to, what, did he go to Tennessee? Then from Tennessee to USC at that point in time, that's an upgrade in jobs. And then the USC thing didn't work out. Now he's at Ole Miss, which is the SEC, which you could say USC isn't, you know, the bee's knees anymore. You know, the SEC is kind of that place to be, and he's turned Ole Miss into a pretty good program. So why do we hate him again?
Left Tennessee.
Okay.
Come on, Bob. Come on.
I think he also just kind of got left your what?
My balls.
Oh. I think he also just kind of has that sort of like face.
Yeah.
Young guy in the league.
But he's not young anymore.
Not anymore. But this is, I'm going back to what you were talking about. Cause he was a prodigy of Saban, and then leaves Saban, goes and does his own thing, goes to the NFL for a half a minute, and then jump ship everywhere else. And we almost got Lane Kiffin 2.0 with Lincoln Riley. Now he's still in USC, but I mean, that dude put Caleb Williams in against that Red River Shootout, took out Spencer Rattler, brought the team back with Caleb. All of a sudden, he pulled the Al Pacino from Any Given Sunday. I'm done here. And by the way, with my first take for the expansion team, I'm taking Willie Beeman. I'm going to take Caleb Williams to USC, and we're going to do our thing there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I don't know. I think Lane Kiffin also kind of brought himself back when he would go shopping with his, I think it was with his daughter.
Yeah.
He would go shopping, and she would show him outfits or buy clothes. He'd be like, how much money are you spending? She's like, it's fine. You have it. And he's well, I understand that, but do you understand the value? And then all of a sudden it was you don't kind of like this Lane Kiffin guy.
Yeah.
He's like me,
It's funny.
Dad, I want something to eat from DoorDash. Well, use your money to buy it.
That's like, exactly right.
I don't need to use it.
Spending $35 on a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I'll tell you that right now. If you want to waste that money, you go ahead. It's a delicious chicken sandwich, but I'm not paying for the DoorDash, you know, side of things.
That pretzel chicken sandwich, though.
It does look really good. I'm not going to lie, but I can get my car and drive there, right?
Right.
But I just think with Lane Kiffin, like he's done a 180, right? He was a guy that everybody just disliked. And now everybody kind of likes because you're finding out he's actually just a real human being, right? He's not.
Well, he's dry, too. Like, he's not, you know, over the top, funny, ha-ha. Like, he's not like Dan Campbell where he's just a huge jock nerd. He's just one of those, like, he's kind of like if Gruden was serious. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he knows the game. He's got the credentials. He's got the kind of that, you know, arrogant coach look. And then you talk to him, you're like, you know, I probably have a few sodas with Lane Kiffin on the patio.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be the guy that takes himself seriously. A lot of these coaches and a lot of people in high-level sports think they're just, you know, God's gift, and they're not. They're just human beings. They don't want to act like human beings and have not normal human conversations. I can't tell you how many people over the years I've run into. I'm like, just have a human conversation. We don't need to be like this, right? And you know, you've got to find a way to relate to your fans, to relate to the people. I think Lane Kiffin's done a really good job of doing that. I kind of root for the guy now, right?
Yeah, and I think if...
You probably don't. I understand that. I'll never root for Roy Williams in my life, but yeah.
Because of Hannah, I'm kind of forced to. You know, she's an Ole Miss alum, so I'm going to root for Lane Kiffin.
Oh, I thought he was like a cougar she was into.
No, because she's his coach, she thinks he's cute, but I mean, that changes within the game. We'll see what... If they beat LSU, if they lose to LSU, he sucks. If they beat LSU, he's the greatest. That's what Hannah is, you know, with college football.
Well, everybody's like that, though. I mean,
classic fan. Yeah,
it's college football.
I think also the thing that was the hatred that Lane Kiffin got was not what he did. It was more so the perception that people gave him, like, why is this guy getting an NFL job? Why is he getting USC? Well, I understand. That's what I'm getting at. So it's like he got the Raiders, USC, Tennessee, three jobs. I think one
Those
NFL
are primo
job,
jobs,
right?
Dude.
And it's like, so what has he done? And you're like, why is he getting all this? And it's like, is it, you know, because of Monty? Is it because of all this stuff, or is it because he really has this? And now he's found home at Ole Miss, and now you're looking at a prodigy that he has in the NFL that might be starting over Russell Wilson in New York. And who knows what Jackson Dart becomes?
I mean, what if Jackson Dart becomes a superstar overnight in New York? Right?
Depends on how he'll talk about Lane Kiffin in his career.
Good point. Yeah.
Like if he goes back and he's like, you know, at Ole Miss when Lane was there and he taught me how to do this and handle this sort of stuff and told me when I get into the NFL because he had been there, this is what it's going to be like. I give Lane a lot of props, and all of a sudden everybody goes,
he's the quarterback whisperer in college now all of a sudden, right? That's how that works, right? Is a guy has a big star come out in college and everybody wants to go play that position for that guy. So it'll be real interesting to see how his Q rating kind of changes, you know, over the next couple of weeks. I would imagine Jackson Dart is probably going to start this week for the Giants. I mean, how do you continue to roll Russell Wilson out there who threw to a vestibule and a pole? And so you've got to put Jackson Dart out there. And if he does do well, you're right, man. That thing with Lane Kiffin is going to soar right now.
We'll see. I mean, they do have really cool uniforms at Ole Miss. Those powder blues, whites, and reds.
Yeah, they've got a lot of cool things at Ole Miss.
Nerd stat that means nothing to you.
Yeah, Bob, you started. You found this nerd stat and kind of gave me, I kind of felt the green light to add some to it.
So.
Yeah, it's something in the nerd world that they use offensive team stats like
EPA.
EPA. Because
expected
it's not,
points added.
Expected points added. And the Kansas City Chiefs are sitting at number 6 in the NFL with that. And I saw a tweet from some other nerd out there that said, wow, that's pretty impressive because when you look at the games, you probably don't think they're one of the better.
You're like, what?
Yeah. And he said, if Travis Kelce makes that catch in the end zone, the Chiefs are a top 4 team in expected points per play, the EPA or whatever they say. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I went, huh. I mean, maybe that's a way for you to see maybe a bigger picture if you're a stat nerd that this offense isn't that far off from where it truly needs to be. It's a couple of plays away from potentially where it needs to be. So I look at that nerd stat. I'm like, see, I don't think they're that far off. I think they are a couple of plays away. I think they're obviously two big players away from changing things up on the offensive side of the football. But then I saw that nerd stat. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not really in the wrong that much, because if the nerds are saying this offense isn't as bad as everybody's perceiving it, and my eyes are saying we're not as bad and we're not as far away as we are, why do we have this perception that they're bad when the nerds and the eyes are saying both the same thing, you know?
Well, I saw that because I saw that as well, and I was like, damn, what? Because I love EPA.
I know you
here.
Do. That's why I brought it up.
Big proponent of EPA. I've also been a big proponent that this offense has looked bad, right? So I'm like, what? This doesn't make sense. So I dug in, got further into it, right? So this is literally because of Patrick Mahomes.
Well, no question.
This
yeah.
is like,
yeah.
it's crazy. And we know that, right? Like, no duh, he's carrying. But like, yeah. it's insane when you look at it. So we're 15th.
No dip.
15th, no dip, bro. 15th in EPA per pass. So right in the middle as far as passing the ball, they're in the middle. Fourth in EPA per rush. They're a top four rushing team, according to EPA in the National Football League. So I said, what? How? They're 15th in rushing yards. I took away Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards. They're 30th.
Yeah.
They would go down to like 26th in EPA per rush if you took away Mahomes running the football.
Now you sound like Dick Vermeil. Take out those three touchdowns they scored in the first quarter and we win the game. Well, you can't do that, Dick.
I'm just saying, take away Mahomes' heroic magic stuff, off script, doing everything by himself. When we actually just design runs and run the ball, it's not good. Mahomes with no receivers, with Tyquan Thornton and the remnants of Hollywood Brown.
That's your guy, though. You're going to say he's a no receiver?
With no one or two receivers. Yeah, no
yeah,
guys no, he who can get open by themselves.
Know,
you know.
Just being...
He is on pace for 3,800 yards, 18 passing touchdowns, 11 rushing touchdowns, and only 6 interceptions.
Washed.
That's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
insane.
Think people realize how good Patrick Mahomes is playing right now. The guy has changed who he's been as a quarterback drastically every year yep. over the last 4 years.
So cut this segment, send it to Steven.Spector at odyssey.com.
I will.
Because he said maybe Mahomes just isn't good anymore.
Maybe he just sucks, man.
That ought to get you ran out of town.
Him sure. and Mitchell Schwartz are probably sitting right now discussing Patrick Mahomes not being good enough.
What are you doing over there, Spec? I'm just loosening up my arm.
Go play for the Chiefs this week.
It's 8:30 on a Tuesday. You know what that means, Mac. Hit it up.
He's the first voice you hear 3 hours before kickoff and the first voice you hear after the final whistle.
Future Hall of Fame receiver, future Hall of Fame quarterback, being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
Here's the new Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame show host, Josh Briscoe.
They say the new or the nude? Chiefs pre- and post-game radio host.
Either way, my friend Paul, whose parents are going to the Ryder Cup, he always wanted me to call it Nude Radio 980 KMBZ back in the day when we were younger and do all the shows naked. I was like, I'm in. I have no problem doing that.
Nude or no nude, it is Josh Briscoe joining us now on the show. What a hell of an introduction that is, Briscoe. Let's dive right into it. Some say a win's a win, but how you feeling about this team 3 weeks into the season?
Okay, sorry. I was just trying to meet you as a standard. I wasn't before the segment started, but I thought, you know what? I'm at home. Nobody can see me right now. Let's go ahead and do this thing with the level of energy that is required. I feel amazing now, suddenly. I feel the breeze on my skin.
Man.
I really will take it, guys. I mean, the idea of a win over the Giants in week 3 feeling like a season-saving moment was not on my bingo card, but they had to win, right? Like, the method matters, the process matters, but in this case, the result mattered 10 times more. So all of the things that we will talk about here over the next 15 minutes or whatever, all of that will be through the lens of there are a lot of places where things can still get better. I am kind of lukewarm on where the offense stands right now, although I think you guys just talked about a couple good canaries in the coal mine. Is that an option? I'm not sure.
100%.
I think that there is good stuff to build upon, but none of the little details that we're going to kick around now would have mattered if they would have lost, because right. it just would have been, okay, well, they're 0-3, and then they're going to be 0-4, and then maybe they can be 1-5, and then they're going to be 1-6, and now there's a little bit of gas in the tank, which was very much needed.
Yeah, no question. They needed that win, and winning begats winning, right? You take a win and you feel good about yourself. You're like, all right, we got a victory. We know we can do it. We beat a bad team. That's the most important thing. And then you watch the Ravens last night and you went, damn, that defense can't stop anybody in Baltimore right now. Maybe this is a weekend where we can get our offense healthy.
Isn't it amazing, by the way, with the way that the vibes have gone for this Chiefs team opposite that Ravens team, mm-hmm. where now, with it all being said and done, they're going to meet at Arrowhead as a pair of 1-2 teams that both lost to two good teams and beat a pretty bad one. And now the Ravens beat the Browns in week 2. Right. They just beat the Packers. Football's weird. You're always going to have those fine margins. The Giants look pretty good against the Cowboys, and maybe the Cowboys just stink. But that really is why I know we all kind kind of roll our eyes at some point every time Andy Reid says, well, you know, it's hard to get a win in this league. And we all think about the Panthers game last year as a win that felt like a loss. There is truth to that, though. Like, our mutual friend Nate Taylor always says, real football doesn't start till Thanksgiving. That's only true if you're winning games in September and October, when you can afford to look ahead to Thanksgiving for when the real stuff really starts. So, again, yeah, I am heartened by the victory.
Yeah, no, I am too. And I'm the guy who said years ago the regular season doesn't matter, and I still stand by that. When you're the Chiefs, the goal is to, you know, what you do in January and February is how you get your season determined. But you got to get there. And you know, Sunday was a good step into kind of righting this ship and getting there and just kind of treading water. I hear that from a lot of people, Josh, both inside the organization and around the NFL. They're like, if the Chiefs can just tread water for these first six games and they get these wide receivers back, it's going to open everything else up. I agree with that, but we also need more out of our offensive line. And I'm talking about Creed and Trey more than anybody. Juwan Taylor's now low-hanging fruit. 71's one of the best tackles in the game right now. And the offensive line still isn't good. Trey and Creed need to raise their level of play now.
I think calling those that duo Treed is actually kind of a good idea.
Treed?
Can you take me lower?
Like that. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's reasonable, and it's the offensive line is a five-man operation, right? Like, it really does depend on the guys playing around you. But even with Juwan Taylor being a penalty machine, he had a really bad rep on third down on Sunday that we all saw. Even then, some of his underlying numbers removing the penalties have been pretty good.
Right. So
I'm a little bit caught there on Juwan Taylor.
So am I.
Because the penalty thing is just either inexcusable or undeniable, at least at this point, that you go, man, that's a part of his game right now. But you do need to continue to see the offensive line, and especially those two on the interior that you have paid the money to, that you do have as leaders on that O-line, and guys that have the right mindset. I mean, the Chiefs paid those guys because they believe they're the right type of football players and the right type of guys to give that money to. And I tend to agree, especially Creed's just a great value because centers are kind of undervalued at this point. But the depth and width of the pocket has to give Mahomes a little more space to step into some of these throws. And then I know that there have been problems in the running back room, and Isaiah Pacheco had a couple of really rough reps that, again, I don't need to tell you any more about. You know what I'm talking about. He was running the wrong direction when Patrick Mahomes threw him the football.
Right.
We've got to see a little bit more advantage taken of some of those creases by the running back room. I think that whole operation has a lot of room to improve.
I think you and I are probably pretty similar last night watching Baltimore versus Detroit, thinking every time that Baltimore is on the field, knowing that that's your next opponent. Obviously, Detroit, you've got a couple of weeks till they come to town. But watching Baltimore, knowing that's your next opponent, going, okay, where would the Chiefs kind of, you know, stack up to this sort of drive? Where do the Chiefs look at this? Derrick Henry looks like he's got the yips with holding onto the football. Lamar Jackson was sacked 7 times because they spied somebody. You kind of put yourself in that situation like I did last night, where, okay, who's the spy guy? Is this a Leo Chanel game? Is this a, you know, a Drew Tranquil game? Like, who's going to be that guy? Now, obviously, Detroit's defensive line, much better than the Kansas City Chiefs. But what say you, Briscoe, when you watched that game last night with Baltimore on the field showing that Lamar can be sacked more than a handful of times?
Yeah, you hit on the main things that a couple of times I had the thought of, like, all right, Leo, I hope you've got, mm-hmm. I hope your knees are feeling good. I hope your ankles are feeling limber. You've got a very tough matchup coming up, but I do think it makes a lot of sense for him to get some of that spy responsibility. You can never do it all the time because you can never let the opposing quarterback know what you're going to do every time. That's the chess match of this incredible sport. But the other thing that you also mentioned, the Lions defensive line and pass rush, the 4-man rush has obviously been much more productive. They've got one superstar on the edge.
Oh, he's good.
The Chiefs superstars on the interior, and watching Hutchinson and thinking about George Karlaftis, just in terms of, like, who's your best defensive end here and what can they do, was at times kind of frustrating. It's like, man, just imagine Karlaftis with that little bit of extra juice that takes it from a good to a great pass rusher. But the other thing that the Lions did with really remarkable consistency, they were maintaining their rush lanes and whatever their gap responsibilities were, which I think is why you saw them so successfully kind of corralling Lamar Jackson and then bringing him down. Even then, I think this is off the back of the napkin here, but I think 3 of those sacks, maybe a couple of very short gains, were all brought down because of a shoestring tackle on Lamar Jackson. So you have all of these guys doing their job. You maintain that rush integrity. You're corralling the most escapable quarterback in football, and then still you got to grab him by a fingernail sometimes to bring him down by a shoelace. that's what it took for the Lions to have that kind of performance, and still it ends up being a very close, high-scoring, back-and-forth game. But I really do think that's the standard now for the Chiefs. You've got to figure out how to pressure him relatively quickly and then not give him any space to escape. That's way easier said than done, but it is heartening that the Lions were able to do it.
No doubt, especially, you know, with them coming in here, and you can get healthy from an offensive standpoint against their defense, and maybe from a defensive standpoint, you can, you know, hold them down. If you hold Lamar down, you're feeling really good about yourself. I just hope it doesn't come down to a field goal. Where are you on Butker right now?
I mean, you've got to be some level of concern.
I'm very concerned, man. He should have had five misses if he doesn't hit the upright. And we're only in three games.
I think you can still have some of the, like, if you said Harrison Butker's trotting out for a 58-yarder at the end of the game, I'm going to bet that he makes it, but you can't have that kind of inconsistency throughout a game that changes how you play. Early misses are not as instantly impactful as late misses, but it changes the number of possessions you need to tie up the game later, whatever it may be. So right now, I think it's fair to say that Butker is frankly, a kicker. That is kind of the standing that he's in right now. He's kind of in the muck of a guy that has crazy range. He's had obviously incredibly clutch moments. His consistency levels with this team have been remarkable. I don't know how much this is playing into it, but he talked about trying not to collapse down to that knee this year, and then you still see him do it when he's trying to make some of those longer kicks and get a little more power. And look, I've heard him and Dave Tobe talk about it a lot, and I pay attention, but even then I'm not naive enough to tell you I got all the mechanics of kicking down as well as Harrison Butker and Dave Tobe do. But I do think that you have plenty of signs right now where you can't be 100% confident in Butker like you have been before. Weirdly, kind of in that mid-range, and then even some of those shorter long kicks, if that makes sense. Again, I think there's 3 seconds left on the clock and it's Butker for 60. I think there's a really, really, really good chance he's making that kick. But that is an uncertainty that I do not like having with my kicker.
Yeah, and I think you make great points by talking about the early in the game, you know, kicks that matter so much, because both of those games could have been easily won if Harrison Butker makes his field goals and extra points.
Yep. Yeah, and that's something where we remember the mistakes of a missed tackle or an interception or a lost sack or whatever. But I do think because it's the kicking game, I think we have an inclination to go, all right, well, there's one to make up. And then all of a sudden you're chasing two-point conversions to try to get the math even. And now it should have been a tie game, and now it's a four-point game.
Exactly.
It should have been a touchdown. Now it's eight. Now it's 11. And that's a way to lose control of a game. You can't give up the points that you're counting up before the snap. If it's a missed 65-yarder that goes off the crossbar, we all know what kind of math we're working with there. But Butker's got to be as good as he's been previously. They paid him a lot of money. He's got a pretty big cap number. He's going to be on this team for a little while at least. I'm not saying that it's over. I'm here to cut bait. But it's just this is a long-term thing that needs to be fixed as much as it's a short-term thing.
Briscoe, we appreciate the time, and we'll be ready for you on Sunday with that 3:25 start a little earlier this week for you. I'm sure you enjoy that as well. So thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, guys. This is weird to be putting my clothes back on at the end of an interview. Usually I'm doing the exact opposite right now.
Yeah, it's better doing them naked, isn't it? Don't you feel the freedom?
Just stay naked.
There you go, Mac. That's a clip from Bob, just from me to you. That's all of us working together. Cut that for me next week, please, Mac.
Thanks, JB. Brother. Coming up next, we talk about a shift in the fan base here in Kansas City. We'll explain what it means here on 96.5 The Fan, your own for Kansas City sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Boy, it is wet outside today. The downpour. We were talking about Josh Briscoe being nude. You know what today is, Mac? Today's a nude nap day. You ever nude it when you nap?
Of course.
Yeah, dude.
It's
and
amazing.
Just pile of clothes right next to the bed, crawl right in. I'll tell you what, man.
I haven't slept with clothes on in years.
I'm talking about a nap.
I haven't slept with clothes on in years. It's better that way.
It's nice. Turn the fan on. Maybe crack the window. What is it outside?
It's muggy, though. Your hands are clamped. You know that clammy, wet feeling you feel when you go outside? It's humid. Yes. Like, it's humid out there. I don't think we're quite to that crack the window stage just yet.
64 degrees.
Oh, okay. But it's still humid.
Feels like 64.
Oh, I don't sleep with clothes on. It's humid outside.
Well, that too, especially, my God. Just better when you press the flesh.
Easy access. So a shift in the fan base. I kind of brought this up a little bit earlier today. I kind of feel the same way about it as of 8:49 in the morning. There was a lot of, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. There was a lot of positivity after a loss to Philadelphia, who now everyone hates more than Cincinnati. Can we go ahead and say that?
Well, are you talking to us? Are you talking nationally? Or?
I think Chiefs fan base. I think Chiefs fans probably, maybe that's the poll question tomorrow. Who do you hate more nowadays in football? Philadelphia, Cincinnati, right? And there was a lot of talk, at least within my friend group and coworkers here and text line, everybody out there. When they lost to Philadelphia, it's like, man, it kind of felt like our own personal loss. That felt like a Chiefs loss. That didn't feel like Philly came in here and beat us. I feel like we beat ourselves in that game against Philadelphia, and I see positive things moving forward. Got to figure out the run game. Got to figure out how to get pressure. Got to figure out how to make money off this. It's simply too good. And I think when you see that sort of, you know, narrative, because I even told, you know, the bullpen and the boss, and you guys are like, man, seems like a little bit positive. Durbin 0-2 start, lost to Philadelphia, haven't won since January. And then you got to win this week. And I heard a lot of doom and gloom in Mac's voice. I heard a lot of doom and gloom from the texters. I heard a lot of doom and gloom from friend groups. And it was almost like a different, it was almost like a shift that it was like, yeah, we beat the New York Giants, but golly, that offense in the first half, thank God they figured out in the second half. Maybe that play by Mahomes where he threw the ball behind Pacheco or backwards and Pacheco ran towards the other end zone like a first grader in his first basketball game. The tip goes up. Run the other way, Scotty. The other way. That's our basket. And
were you ever that kid? That kid, Mac?
No, I was a stud basketball player, 2 years of high school.
And nailed that.
I'm for my knee, man.
How many high school sports did you guys play?
Three.
I played three, four, yeah.
Band doesn't count.
No.
And
football, swimming, baseball, three, yeah.
Okay. And so when you look at that game last week, it was like, yeah, they won, but, right, whereas they lose to Philadelphia, it's like, they lost, but you know what? I'm not mad about it as much as I should be. So maybe I'm wrong in that. Maybe I'm not seeing that, but is there more negativity after a win than there was after a loss and starting 0-2?
I think there may have been a little negativity, but I didn't really sense negativity after that game yesterday or Sunday now. I you know, being around town and talking to people yesterday, everybody's just glad we got a win. I don't think there was much like analyzing the game. I think people are to the point now where I think what this season is doing is showing people how difficult it is to win in the NFL and how spoiled we've been over the last, you know, decade, basically. And now there's no margin for error right now, right? And we're, in the past, there was always margin for error, and they figured out a way, and it looked easy and whatnot. We're living life like a normal NFL team at this point in time. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. We're just not used to that. And we have to kind of adjust the way that we view games and the way that we view things and the way we view results right now. Again, you know, we always want the 35-0 win. That's not realistic in this day and age right now for this football team. But what is realistic is going out there and winning. And you look at those first two games that they lost this season, and the reason I'm optimistic about it is because they were self-inflicted, you know, mistakes that this team made. You missed a kick that did change the shape of everything in week one against the Chargers. And then you're, you know, top-notch defensive tackle is clearly out of position when everybody knew at that moment in time, if you get a stop there, Mahomes is getting the ball back, and who knows what's going to happen at that point in time. Your second game of the season, you lost, but you lost because, again, your potential future Hall of Fame kicker missed a kick, and your tight end, who's going to the Hall of Fame, dropped a touchdown pass, which turned into an interception. I don't think the Chiefs lost those first two games because they're out-talented or out-coached. They just made mistakes that in the past, those mistakes were able to be covered up. Now they're not able to be covered up. And so I think in the first 3 weeks of the season, I think from the people that I've spoken to, and we've had a drastic shift, it's now about just winning games. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to look great. We don't need to get brownie points. We've never needed to get those brownie points. This isn't college. You just have to go out there and win. And I think having these first couple of weeks of the season has people back into realizing a win is all that matters in the NFL. At the end of the day, you are what your record is. Nothing more, nothing less. Just find a way to win. Doesn't have to look good. Doesn't have to look pretty. could, but it doesn't have to. As long as you have more points than your opponent, nobody cares now how you get this done. And I think that's what those first two games of the season have taught us. Just find a way to win, man.
35-0.
35-0. Yeah, for me, anecdotally, I'd say you're right, Dusty. Yeah, the shift was definitely there. I mean, just me and my friend group were more negative after the win than after the loss to Philadelphia. But I think context matters in all this, right? Like, I don't think, like, saying, like, oh, yeah, the defense actually hasn't been too bad. Like, Chargers only scored 27 points. It's not, well, we watched that game. Mm-hmm. That eye test wasn't good. Like, that was really, really bad. It was good. There was reason. There was justification to be worried about some things after that game one. Game two, some things get better, right? Context matters. Mm-hmm. Sure, it was 20 points, only seven less points. You're like, the defense was about the same. Well, it looked
a lot different. Yeah, yeah.
And then it looked a lot different against Russell Wilson. Again, context matters. This is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Probably shouldn't be starting anymore.
Right.
So I just think you got to go week by week with this. But I think for the team, Bob, you're right. All that matters is winning. For me, a pontificator, a radio host, I'm going to have opinions and feelings, and they're going to be judged off of the context of a game, win or loss.
Yeah, I mean, that was a free space on your bingo card last week against the Giants. That's a bad team.
That's exactly.
But so is Baltimore right now, guys. Like, we got to stop being scared by this Baltimore Ravens team. I just found audio that I'll send you.
Who's scared?
It's every. I think the fan base is looking at the schedule. Oh, the Ravens. Like, you know, I mean, I do. I feel like people are looking at the schedule. Oh, the Ravens.
I haven't seen any of that.
I mean, oh, the Ravens are coming. We got to play the Ravens. Like, when that schedule first came out, and you're looking at it, you go, oh, God, can we get past the Ravens? Mm-hmm. Like, I do. I think the Ravens present themselves as a team that is good because they have been good, but they're not a very good team right now. And none of their players are believing in their system right now. Marlon Humphrey, we're not very good. Kyle Hamilton, no excuses can be made at this point. John Harbaugh, we have a bad run defense. It's not acceptable. Lamar Jackson, week one was a wake-up call, not just this loss. Derrick Henry, I'm trying to fix the problem. It just keeps occurring. You got your head coach out there, Harbaugh, saying we have a bad run defense. Hey, Andy! The coach is admitting that their run defense stinks.
Run the ball.
Now this is the week that the pressure is on Andy Reid. There are no excuses this week to not run the football against the Baltimore Ravens. Number one, they're the worst in the NFL at stopping the run. And number two, the more you run the ball, the more you control the clock, the more you keep Lamar Jackson on the other sideline as well. You got to play this game similar to what a lot of teams tried to do in like year two of Patrick Mahomes. And that's, well, we can't stop him, so we're going to run the football and we're going to grind the clock out and make it very difficult.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic week one NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
There's artificial intelligence, then there's apartmental intelligence. Yep, it's a thing. Apartments.com knows how to find the exact place you have in mind. Want a 3-bedroom condo in a walkable downtown? Done. Or that single-family home with a yard and a quiet neighborhood? Easy. With over a million rental listings, plus search tools that make moving simple, their Apartmental Intelligence can get you a place that gets you. Visit apartments.com. The place to find a place.
For Patrick Mahomes to do his thing. I think you need to implore a little bit of that. But when you got the head coach out here complaining about the defense and saying it's not good enough against the run for his team, that should be antennas for everybody at One Arrowhead Drive to say, we're going to run the ball this week. We're going to elevate CEH. We're going to elevate this. Any running back that we have is playing this week.
Coming up on the other side, we get into start, bench, cut here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
To Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear Mitch Holthus every Friday at 7:20 right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending hear your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ever walked past a place for rent and wish you could just peek inside? Maybe even explore the layout? Envision the natural light streaming through the windows? Or plan where your vinyl record collection would go? At Apartments.com, you can. With tools like their 3D virtual tours, you can see the exact unit you'd be living in. Really envision yourself in your new home with Apartments.com. The place to find a place.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at uhc.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.